What a gift and what a treasure we have in the Bible. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That verse, you know, comes into the song that we sang today, and thank you again, Anthony, for choosing that one. And those are the best kind of songs that we can sing in church, the ones that help us to remember scripture and to be into it like that, and there are so many of them. When we were doing CEF Ministries, they have the Bible verses, you know, songs for the that come from the Bible that you memorize with the melodies. And I think those are my favorite ones that I learned, because they are really the Bible verses. And they stick in your ear and in your heart, and you can remember them really well that way. Today we're going to be talking about this psalm a little bit, but we're also going to be hearing some testimonies that I'd like to share with you. There are many, many different testimonies that I could share that have to do with the example of people, how God has saved them or healed them or come into their life, led them to a park bench. You know, that was a testimony, right? It's a testimony of how God touched a life that was really in trouble, and then it was as simple as sitting in a park bench and taking in the world around you and feeling close to God that way. And, that's a great thing to remember, right? Because oftentimes we wander around and there are things right in front of us that we don't notice, and they're there for God's purpose. And so I think that park bench and other things like that, illustrations like that, help us to be able to be alert to those things. You know, whatever you... One of the things we could say is, what do you see every day that God may be pointing you to take, you know, in a new way, to see in a new way, in a new light, that he wants to teach you a lesson through that object or that thing, or maybe a person. Yeah. So please do that. Please be alert to the testimony of God and to God speaking to you through things that you see every day. This psalm is filled with longing. Filled with longing, just like we heard. But it doesn't just stop at verse 9. It continues on, and the psalmist gives many different examples of how God had worked in the life of someone or different people. And we're not going to look at each one of them. I chose one of them today, the first one to look at together, and to be able to set the scenario for us, and then I'll share some real life examples of how God worked in the lives of people and saved them and healed them. And I pray that will be a blessing. So today, it begins in this way: I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. So it's not just someone who is saying this, you know, because they were taught it somewhere. It's because it's coming from the fact that God has shown them himself and has worked in their life, and so they give thanks. They're giving thanks to God because of what he has done for them, right? They were redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's another version in the NIV. It's kind of interesting. There's two different NIV versions. There's an older NIV, and then there's probably a revised one. In the older NIV version, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But in the newer version, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. So that's where the sermon title comes from. Let them share their story. And both are good, but I think that telling the story is really what God wants us to do today, and think about our story. And I know many of you have. But this person gives this introduction. It's also interesting, Psalm 106 also begins with the exact same words. And it has a little bit different story behind that psalm. But this one begins in the same way. It could be that it's the same person that wrote both psalms. But this person wants us to know that the Lord is good, and so we give thanks to him because of that. His steadfast love endures forever. They were awakened to the steadfast, never-ending, everlasting love of God. And so that is the best way that we can come into any day, is to remember that there is a God who is good, and his love is everlasting for you. So no matter what happens and what comes our way, we can remember that he did that. And even if you don't recall anything, and it would be hard for anyone not to recall something God did for them, then you can gain strength from someone who's telling their story, right? Some of the greatest things that I learned in life came from people who were touched by God's love and by his goodness, and so they shared that with us. And you go to church expecting to hear those kind of things, and that was what really excited me when I went to our church growing up as a young kid, was to hear that people had been in touch with the living God, and they wanted us to know about it, and they were so excited about it, and that grows on you, and it touches your heart. And so it says, that let the redeemed of the Lord say, whom he has redeemed from trouble, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And so it seems that God has gathered in people who have been saved from trouble, some kind of a trouble that was widespread, right? And so that's what God does. He redeems us from trouble. And so we need to think about that in our own lives, because there's going to be trouble. We're going to face all kinds of different troubles, but God redeems us and saves us from them. We're going to get more into that salvation story. It says, some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And so this picture, right, talking about pictures of someone, just like a park bench, you can picture people that are wandering in the desert, and that explains their life, right? Oftentimes we'll ask someone how they're doing, and they're afraid to tell us, but some people are wandering like they're in a desert, and they don't know what to do. They're searching for water to drink. They don't know where they are. They're lost in this wilderness, and things just seem to be getting to them. You know. And so there are many different people like that around us who feel that they don't have any hope. But they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And so that's also important to know, that we are to cry out to God, that he is approachable. Right? He's there for you. He's there for me. But they cried out to him, and that was the big moment there. They were seemingly without any help, but then they cried out to God. Right? Have you been in that kind of position in your life where you've cried out to God? Then you probably can tell the story of how he heard your voice. He led them by a straight way until they reached the city to dwell in. So he took them away from that wilderness, and he brought them into a city where they could find the things that they needed in their lives. It's nothing talking about cities so much, but it is a place that represents for us, like Zion, is the city of God, where God's presence is found. And so the contrast is between being in the wilderness and being lost and not having any way, but then being brought back into a place where you can find your way, where there are people around you, and there are also sources of a sustenance for our bodies. And so let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. So these are great words, right? He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. So there's more than just our body kind of needs there. It's our soul that is longing, our soul that is out in the wilderness, you know, wandering and I can't find my way. And so this is something that all of us as human beings will face at one point or another, but its purpose is to cry out to God and to know that he will be there to show us what life is all about. These are things that God does for us through his word. He takes us from the things that are ordinary in life, and they're kind of like living day to day, or having our, you know, a program that we follow in school or in work, and things of that nature, or having a family, or being a single person, whatever it is that you go through. But he brings us into a realm of the kingdom of God, that we were purposed for that, and that's why we're here, right? And so that's why this psalm is so wonderful, and that's what this testimony does. It puts us in touch with the living God. And that's what each of us is called to do, to have that kind of an impact on the world around us. You don't have to think in huge terms. You know, sometimes we think and we hear some stories and we feel so overwhelmed and we think, oh, that could never be me. But God uses you where you are. And that's kind of the point of the park bench. It's just a very simple object. But it has a large impact, right? There are many people that could sit on it. And there's also many things that we see that we don't see at home or somewhere else. But the main thing is that God is using that to be able to open up doors for you in your life, to be able to know him more, and to be able to see that there are things like that that have great meaning. So I'm going to come back to this in a little bit, but I'd like to, I told you I was going to tell you some stories from real life. This is a real life story, but it's more modern now. We're going to talk about some more contemporary examples. And I'd like to start off with one that is from Catherine Marshall. I have a book on the back table there that has a number of different books of testimonies. And there are also some that have missionary stories. There's some about missionaries. There's one Ron Hutchcraft wrote, and he was a guy that I knew when I was a teenager going to church. And he would come to our church when he was with Campus Crusade for Christ. And he was one of the first ones involved with that. And he's still around, and he's still serving God, and he's still reaching out and writing books and speaking and making an impact with God. Think about that. All those years, right, since I was, you know, I won't tell you how old I am, but many years, he was there when I was a teenager. And now he's still doing that work. I am so proud of people like that. I mean, amazing to think that he would do it from such a young age and continue in the ministry like that. And but God uses people, and brings them to himself for his purposes at any age. But anyway, he's one of the people. But the person I want to talk to you about today, and I hope you don't mind if I read a few things from these examples today, instead of just telling you it, because I think you'll gain more if you hear the whole story. But the first person is Catherine Marshall. Okay, when you see the picture on the book, you see this bright picture of a woman who is smiling and she looks vibrant, and you would never think in a million years that she was ever sick. But this is the story. There was a woman who wrote this article, and she said, an older couple I know heard I had cancer. They felt that they should give me a book by Catherine Marshall. It was written back in 1950. She was a young mother with a 3-year-old son when she was diagnosed with tuberculosis. She was confined to bed for 3 years, and she was very frustrated with her situation. She was young, and she found it difficult to come to terms without being able to look after her son and husband. And she remembered going to church when she was a young girl and hearing about the story of a blind man whom Jesus healed. She was excited to hear that Jesus healed. And then her teacher told her that the children in her class, that healing doesn't happen today, only back in the time of Jesus. And she was confused and left the debate with her teachers. Well, 15 years later, she was confined to bed with a disease that the doctors couldn't cure. She had tuberculosis. She wasn't getting better. And she thought back to the story of the blind man. And she began to read the stories about Jesus healing people in her Bible. She had lots of time to read her Bible when she was in bed. And she studied the scriptures. She forgot about her condition as she occupied herself with search. She wondered, could she be healed of her disease? Did God heal people nowadays? She dared to believe. In her studies, she found that Jesus was moved with compassion for the sick, and he healed them. He healed a woman who was bleeding for 12 years. He healed lepers. He raised a dead child. He healed a cripple and all who came to him who were sick. And Catherine Marshall bowed her head and prayed, Lord, I need your help. You made my body. You can heal me. Will you do for me what you did for others? And this is what happened. A few nights later, she was aware of a presence, a power, a personality in her room. She knew it was Jesus. Her body tingled like she had a shock of electricity. And this was the turning point in her illness. The x-rays showed that she had made progress. She began to get out of bed a little at a time until she was finally healed. She was encouraged by another girl she heard of who believed God healed her of tuberculosis. Many symptoms of her disease were still bothering her, a fever, a cough, or the fluid in her lung. Yet she knew she had to keep her eyes on Jesus, not on her symptoms. She was totally healed a few months later. And Catherine Marshall says, the woman who rose from bed and went out to meet life was a different woman. Catherine Marshall. You can read the book on the table there if you'd like to get to know her more. Frank Chan. Frank Chan is a pastor. He was a professor at Nyack College for many years until Nyack College sadly had to close. But I know Frank, and I know his brother. Gordon, you know them too. Well, maybe others of you know them as well. Frank Chan. And anyway, Frank has a Facebook account, and recently I joined it, and he shares a lot of different testimonies, many different good things. If you want to connect with Frank, you can do that. You just have to go on Facebook and look for him. So he says this. This is a testimony he shares. At the Chinese Bible study at Greenhaven Prison last night, I asked one fellow how he became a Christian. Good. So he went to a prison to minister. He said, in 1994, I couldn't speak any English, but I got a hold of a Chinese newspaper that had one ad that was a Christian testimony. I had no idea what Christianity was at the time. I honestly thought the writer was a fortune teller. An old Chinese lady named Mama Yan used to take a team of Mandarin-speaking church people to all the prisons in the area, and she explained to me what the ad was talking about, this testimony. And so Frank writes, oh man, I thought, some old lady 30 years ago was willing to come into this horrible, forgotten prison and do this. Probably no one ever saw or appreciated what she did. Oh, wait a minute. The Lord saw it, and now I see it. It's another testimony of how God works in people's lives. An old lady, Mama Yan, went to a prison, shared the gospel. There are many different stories I could tell you of God's influence in people's lives, but I think I'd like to now tell you about Paul, just as a reminder in our Bibles. Paul was a man who shared his testimony all throughout the New Testament writings where he was present. In the book of Acts, Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he recounted numerous times when Paul told about God coming into his life. And one of those instances is found in chapter 22 of Acts. And I'd like to read it to you. You may have heard this or read this, but I'd like to read it again today. Paul was giving his testimony. He said, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. He was speaking to Jewish people. He said, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those all who were there and bring them in bonds, in chains, to Jerusalem to be punished for their faith. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand of those who were with me, and I came into Damascus. And a man named Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and I saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Paul became a witness for Jesus Christ, and it was his duty as a witness of Jesus Christ to tell his story. And that's what he did. He told it all through the book of Acts, all through his letters, every opportunity that he had. He repeated the same story. It wasn't a different one each time. It was this one that he wanted people to know, that he was a persecutor of Jesus, and Jesus met him, and his life has changed forever. He knew he was real, and he obeyed the call to tell other people about his testimony. Amen. The last one I'd like to share with you is from a man named John Stott. And we have a book called Basic Christianity. We used to use this for the baptism class, but I recommend it to you if you can get a copy of it. I have copies that you can have too. But anyway, John Stott was a man who remained single throughout his life. He served God. He felt that God could use him more effectively, as Paul had suggested in his writings, if he remained single. And so he did. He devoted his single life to serving God and helping Christians and non-Christians. And so I'd like to share something that he wrote at the very end of his book, after he had told us what Christianity is about and explained back basic Christianity. He gave his testimony. But he began with a couple of other testimonies, and one of them was about C.S. Lewis. He said, in Surprised by Joy, a book by C.S. Lewis, he said, one day in my life, this went on. I was traveling on the top of a bus. C.S. Lewis. Riding on the top of a bus, like one of those buses you see in London that you can, you know, sit in a double-decker. And he said, without words, and I think almost without images, a fact about myself was somehow presented to me on the bus. I became aware that I was holding something at bay or shutting something out of my life. Or if you like, I was wearing some stiff clothing like corsets or even a suit of armor, as if I were a lobster. I felt myself being there and then given a free choice. I could open the door or keep it shut. I could unbuckle the armor or keep it on. Neither choice was presented as a duty. No threat or promise was attached to either, though I knew that to open the door or to take off the corset meant the incalculable. I chose to open, to unbuckle, to loosen the reins. I say choose, yet it did not really seem possible to do the opposite. C.S. Lewis. Presence came into his life, spoke to him on a bus, and told him that he was keeping something out of his life. It was the Lord. And so he chose Christ. This one is the next one from John Stott. A boy in his late teens knelt at his bedside one Sunday night in the dormitory of his school, and in a simple matter-of-fact but definite way, he told Jesus that he had made rather a mess of his life so far. He confessed his sins. He thanked Christ for dying for him, and he asked him to come into his life. And the following day, he wrote this in his diary. Yesterday really was an eventful day. Up till now, Christ has been on the circumference, and I have but asked him to guide me instead of giving him complete control. Behold, he stands at the door and knocks. I have heard him, and now he has come into my house. He has cleansed it, and now he rules in it. This is from his journal. The day after, another writing in the journal. I really have felt an immense and new joy throughout today. It is the joy of being peace with the world and of being in touch with God. How well do I know now that he rules me and that I never really knew him before? These are extracts, John writes, from my own diary, John Stott's diary. I venture to quote them because I do not want you to think that I am recommending to you a step which I have not taken myself. Are you a Christian, a real and committed Christian? Your answer depends on another question. Not whether you go to church or not, believe the creed or not, or lead a decent life or not, important as all of these are in their place, but rather this: which side of the door is Jesus Christ? Is he inside or is he outside? And that is the crucial issue. Perhaps you're ready to open the door to Christ today. If you are not sure whether you have ever done so, my advice to you would be to make sure. Even, as someone has put it, you will be going over in ink what you have already written in pencil. I suggest that you get away and alone to pray. Confess your sins to God and forsake them. Thank Jesus Christ that he died for your sake and in your place. And then open the door and ask him to come in as your personal Savior and Lord. And he gives a wonderful prayer in this book that I've printed out. And Caitlin, can you hand those out to everybody?
I already did.
Oh, you did? Okay, great. All right, so if you take that little slip of paper, there are two prayers here from John Stott. And the first one is a seeker's prayer by John Stott, and I want you to know that there are people who seek God. They don't just grow up as Christians, or they don't just come to faith, in some kind of a way that you may not know. But this is the seeker's prayer. Let's read this together, okay? God, if you exist, and I don't know if you do, and if you can hear this prayer, and I don't know if you can, I want to tell you that I am an honest seeker after the truth. Show me if Jesus is your Son and Savior of the world, and if you bring conviction to my mind, I will trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord. This is what John Stott wrote from his own experience. These were his thoughts as a seeker for God. And so if there is a seeker, we seek God, we are seeking him, we are seeking the truth, and John Stott wrote this out so we can see, what we may need to say to God at this point in our lives. I want to encourage you, if you're a seeker, that you do have this prayer and read it to God and ask him to show himself and reveal himself to you, and I know he will. And I know that because John Stott heard from God after he spoke that prayer. Now, there's another prayer here that I'd like for you to keep very handy for as witnesses of God and as people who know Christ as Savior. And if that describes you, then you can encourage someone to read these words. But also for those of you who are ready and you feel that you have sought and found God, you have found the answer for life in Jesus Christ, you can pray these words right now. So let's read these words together. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that I have gone my own way. I have sinned in thought, word, and deed. I am very sorry for my sins. I turn from them in repentance. I believe that you died for me, bearing my sins in your own body. I thank you for your great love. Now I open the door. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in as my Savior and cleanse me. Come in as my Lord. And take control of me, and I will serve you as you give me strength all of my life. Amen. So what was the question again that John Stott said is the most important one to ask? Is Jesus outside or is he inside? You know what that means, right? Can somebody help me to explain what that means? Is Jesus outside or is he inside?
The door of your heart is outside of your heart.
Amen. Okay, so the door of your heart, is it outside or inside? At home, in your house, I think he said, right? And there are different ways that we can see that, right, in our lives, that we are saying that we are Christians, but Jesus is not really central to our lives. We don't walk with him. We don't have this relationship that we need to have with him. We don't recognize that he is the Savior of our sins and that he gives us eternal life. And our lives also have to express it in the way that we live. Right? We are tempted to do things that are wrong. We're tempted by people in our lives sometimes to do wrong. We're sometimes tempted to do things by things we see. Sometimes, just on our own, we may think of something that we want to do that is not right. Right? But those kind of instances are times when we have to admit that, yes, Lord, I'm being tempted by these things, and I don't want to live like that. I want to give my life completely to you. And one of the steps that we take also with the professing belief in Jesus is to say, I want to be baptized to be able to show people that I am serious, and I have taken it seriously. And that is what God does for us. He provides that that opportunity for us to stand there and to be lowered into water and to be brought up in front of witnesses so that they see that this decision is true and it's real in our lives. And so God is speaking to us through these examples today. But let's go back to the psalm that we started with now and just briefly be reminded of things here that we see and also the importance of telling our story. So each one of these instances, you can hear in the examples of the people who are sharing the testimony. We heard one from Catherine Marshall, who was healed of tuberculosis, and then she dedicated her life to God. And she wrote, and she spoke, and she shared her life and her belief in God with other people. Right? We heard from Pastor Frank Chen going to a prison and asking someone how they became a Christian. What a great way to get to know someone. And then they share of how they were led to Christ by someone like Mama Yan. Beautiful story, isn't it? To hear about how God works in those kind of ways. And then what does he do? He takes that story and he puts it on Facebook where he could be saying a million different kind of things that are not going to help people at all, but he shows people the way to Christ. And somebody on his Facebook account said, I have been, you know, friends with you on Facebook for a long time, but now I'm looking at you in a different way, and I've been reading what you have to say and the things that you're writing, and I'm paying more attention to them. And I have something that's on my heart. Can I talk to you about it? And so I imagine that Frank would contact him and that they would get together and they would talk about what it is that he needs to talk about. But that's the way it works with our testimony. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It could be your testimony, or you could be relating the testimony of someone else. But it's important for us to be able to do those things and take opportunities to share those stories with other people. Right? We heard the example of Paul that is all through the Bible of how he was dramatically changed and became a storyteller of his own life and how people would hear that he was a follower of Christ, knowing very well that he was someone who was killing Christians and transformed and now serving Christ. And then the last one with John Stott, who was drawing upon Jesus' example and his loving us and going to the cross. The greatest testimony of God's love that was ever shown was Jesus Christ giving his life for us. And so we have those reasons here in Psalm 107, way back in the Old Testament. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and now I'm going to. Now I'm going to. I was part of these people who were in trouble. He saved me from it. He gathered me in from the land, from the desert wastes, where I was finding no place to go. I was lost in my life, but now I'm found because God gave me the answer to my cry. I cried out to him in my trouble, and he delivered me from distress. He led me in a straight way. And that's what Jesus does. Right? So this whole story here in the Old Testament is really telling the story of Christ. I was lost, I went through things in my life, but let me tell you how Jesus has changed me and has given me hope. And that's my story. And let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. And so, know the Bible well. We heard about this. Catherine Marshall had 3 years seemingly feeling like there's no hope and she didn't know what to do. And God used that time for her to open the Word and to read it. And not just to read it quickly, but she had nowhere to go. So she was there. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. There were guys in prison that I went to visit and do a Bible study with. And they said, we have more time now than we ever thought we were going to have. And God uses it for them to study his word. And they often say, what about the people outside that have freedom to do it whenever they want? We don't do it because we're not forced to. We're not imprisoned, you know? But that doesn't speak well of us. So what we should do is say, if they can do it and they're in prison like that, then I should also. Because I am, in a way, in prison here without the Word of God. I am without God. If I'm without God in my life, I am in the wilderness. But when I turn to him and I cry out to him, I will find this God who loves me and satisfies my longing soul. And he fills me with good things. So praise God. Let the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Brothers and sisters, if you know Christ as your Savior, you are redeemed. Let your story be known.